I feel like one of my callings is to carry the presence of God to this generation, simply because you can't prove God exists to people with argument, with rationale, with logic. But God defies language. Like a lot of things defy language. The English language lets us down all the time. I'll give you an example. Tell me what a banana tastes like. Come on. Without saying it tastes like a banana. It's like... What's it taste like? You could... It's impossible, right? There's only one way that I am going to let you know what a banana tastes like. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to taste God. And we have a spiritual palate that ascends language and goes to another world of experience. And you never want to underestimate the power of feelings. And that's a balancing statement, because we live in a very dangerous world where people are ascribing godlike authority to feelings. That if you feel that you are something, then you are that. We need an objective outside bearing to tell us truth, not subjective within. However, at the same time, we should not underestimate the power of feelings. People do not take their own life because they say, oh, it's kind of a logical thing to do. They feel so bad. Their feelings are overwhelming them. And there are people who are drowning in negative feelings and trying to find a way out of all of that. Again, I would say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when your spirit begins to open to God, you become like David, who God loved with all his heart, because that's what David wanted. He didn't want the throne. He didn't want the kingdom. He didn't want Saul's job. He simply wanted God. And every time he would pull out his guitar or begin singing to God, he would find himself just worshiping. And that was enough for God, just fellowship. That's why God made you and me. For friendship, for hanging out together. I mean, Chris and I weren't sitting at home one day and the lawns were getting a little long and dishes were piling up. And we said, boy, we should have some kids and get these lawns mowed and get the dishes done. I mean, God has got things for you to do, but you don't have kids for that reason. You have kids because of an inbuilt ache for family, and we're built for relationship. And relationships are beautiful when they're beautiful. They can be hell or heaven. When you're in the kingdom and you're following Jesus' ways, you'll find they're pretty good. There's a resonance, there's a richness, there's all kinds of things, but it emanates out of a connection with the Father. And so many people, because he's invisible, it's hard to know what he's thinking and what he's feeling. But the Word of God tells you he's smiling on you. He rejoices over you. He sings over you. Like, it blows my mind. Jeremiah 1 says, before I was born, you knew me. I mean, that means that before I even turned up, God had a thought, and it was me. And when he thought of me, he smiled. When he thought of Eleanor, he smiled. When he thought of Alan, he smiled. He thought, man, I haven't got one of those. I'd really like to have one of those. So I'm going to make me one of those. And now here you are, you turned up. But he didn't just have one or two thoughts. He had like a shower of billions. God is a very big thinker. And you are here because he wanted you here. He is not the God of oops. He didn't go, oops, Victor. Oh, didn't see that one coming. What are we going to do with him? Hey, Michael, you got an idea what we'll do with Victor? Victor was always planned in the mind of God. Always in the mind of God. Right from the start. End. The most unbelievable. Look, I know it's Sunday night and we're partying with bubbles in the air and balloons, but I just want to drop down down into the deep for maybe just 5 seconds. Can you come with me just for a second into a good level? I'm trying to get a worship spirit, a wow on the inside of me, because a lot of us lose our wow. And I never want to lose my wow. The wonder of worship. And I was once not. There was once a time when you were not. But then somehow you are now here with a self-conscious personality. You are aware. You know you're you. You know you're not me. I know I'm not you. You are a self-aware, independent, actualized person. I told you it's a little bit deep, but you're up for it. I know. You were created. You once were not. So you have come out of nothing into being. Imagine if that had never happened. It'd just be a blank. But you've come. You're here now, and you know you are here, and you're experiencing God's big playground called planet Earth. You're experiencing other people, and you're feeling pain, joy. You're experiencing life because he created you. You weren't dribbling through millions of years of slow mutant adaptions, having a fuzzy self-awareness along the way, saying, oh, I think I'm kind of here, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm getting clearer and clearer. Okay, now I'm clear. I'm here. I have a problem. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people subscribe to the idea of that we came from primal ooze. My difficulty is that you got to accept that Jesus is an advanced form of an ape then. And I can't do that. I can't do that. And the blood of an ape is never going to save anybody, people. You know, so there's got to. And if you say that, so when did the point come when, and to say that Mary was the descendant of monkeys, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And I will not accept it about myself. I got a little bit of dignity. and so I'm sorry if that, you know, is a little aggressive for you tonight. It's kind of blunt, I know, but it halts me to think I came out of nothing. I was made a complete unit. Adam was a finished unit when he turned up on Earth. He wasn't about to become something else. To think that we are evolving into better species would mean that we are better at a better level than Jesus was now, because we're further down the line. I think actually it's going the other way. Lifespans are getting shorter. We're so open-minded. Our brains have fallen out. And it's like the world needs rescuing. And there is a God in heaven who has created you to worship. And he wants to draw near to you and dignify you and respect you as a one life person, not somebody who's, I mean, the thought that somebody else, I was once somebody else and now this is their life. Get out of here. This is my life. I'm not some other life from another time or whatever. This is it. I got 70, 80 years. Well, 70, that's only 3 years away. Better just crank on a few years there, you know, or maybe not. But it's like you've been created by God for fellowship. And maybe we just spend a little time floating, worshiping in the spirit. It's something that we used to do maybe 20 years ago, and sometimes we do it. I think I've heard you do it here a couple times, and I like doing it because it doesn't engage my brain so much, but certainly engages my spirit. And to unhook my tongue from my brain and hook it up to my spirit is what speaking in tongues and singing in the spirit actually is. You might have been just coming to church and singing the songs. Worship is something different. It's an activation just of your spirit, not your heart. So we're going to rise again in that, singing the song of the Lord. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. You cannot spend time in His presence without something wonderful happening to you. Something good is going to happen to you here tonight. Something amazing is going to take place in your life. God is drawing near to some of you right now. You're getting pictures and visions of the future. Some of you are seeing what God is saying to your heart. When God speaks, pictures come out of His mouth. And He puts images in your mind. And you'll get answers. If you're suffering, the Bible says, let him who is suffering pray. Just let your song of worship be like a prayer to God. Well, God's good, right? I hope some got a taste. It's a funny thing, when you taste, you see. Vision comes from tasting God. And you'll see that He's good. Just that very little sentence is so astonishing for humanity. Because not too many people think God is good. If He's good, then why does this happen? How does this happen when God is good? That's why we're here. To bring the goodness of God to a generation they can't see it. And you'll help them see it if they can taste it. But if you haven't got a banana in your hand, you can't give it to anybody. If we're not carrying Him, we can't bring Him. One of the most powerful things you can do is just to simply bring the presence of God, not to church, but to your office tomorrow. Take it home tonight. This is takeaway. This is drive-through. It gets difficult now. I've ended meetings and handed it back to speakers where they can't talk, you know, so everybody just stands there for a while. But we'll get on with the service, but I am going to change the message. So, sorry, screen guys. You know, sometimes as pastors, and I'm not sure how many pastors here, or youth leaders, or young adult leaders, were pounding the pulpit saying, love one another, love one another. Or forgive one another, forgive one. But just this, the presence of God will melt hearts. And people go, oh, I'm so sorry. And we achieve a lot more with His presence than sometimes with His words. Because the Spirit gives life. But the letter can bring death. And to be life-giving ministries is so very important. I want to pray for, before I start preaching, I want to pray for young adult leaders. I prayed for youth leaders last night. I think I did. I want to pray for you young adult leaders right now. Would you, if you're a young adult leader, even if there's just two or three of you, I'd like you to come and stand on the stage. Just come up here. Would you come right now? Just come. Yeah. In Jesus' name, Lord, we're going to pray and touch these lives, that these people. You know, it's an astonishing thing. Like 15 years ago, we all were so distressed about the vacuum of young adults in church. but a great revival has happened all over the world. Most of our churches in America are full of young adults. We have a church of around about 4,000 in New York City with five locations under a guy called Josh Kelsey, who is Mark Kelsey's son, who was our first young adults leader in our church. And first baby born in our church, actually. And now he's running a church in the same city where his parents started a church and now are back in our church in Sydney. Mike and Bernadette Kelsey, two of my closest friends. And they're all just these young adults. In Los Angeles, we have the son of another pastor who was raised up in our church, Dean Sweetman. He came to Christ when he's 15. And his son, Jake, now runs a church of which my son is a part of in the team. And I've never seen so many armpits in worship. It's L.A., you know, it's like, and not all of them shave. It's like, just singlets and tats and just beautiful, magnificent, thousands of them. There's a huge revival amongst young adults, and the devil is trying to attack them because they are the generation like Moses to deliver slaves right across the world. They have a cause in their heart, and for some silly reason, us older guys, they've got all sorts of terrible things to say about millennials. I got nothing terrible to say about a millennial. I love every one of them. They're just brilliant people. They're going to be world changers, planet shakers, no doubt about it. That doesn't mean you go into that church. It's just a descriptive term. God bless that church, but it's a descriptive term. And, you know, of all the people in this room right now that I am so proud of and so hopeful for, it's you guys standing right here. In Jesus' name, I'm believing that God is going to use you so incredibly powerful. Can you come here? You're not married? No. A walking monument to man's stupidity. Sorry. It was so embarrassing, wasn't it? Yeah. I don't even know how old you are, but my wife was 18 when I married her. And I had to get in before anybody else did. And, but, you know, I see in you a heart that's broken for your generation. And I believe that God has placed that burden in your heart to love people who have been rejected, who have come from broken families. And you're going to find that you are going to provide family and home and community, friendship for so many of these lives. This mercy gift in you will sometimes be so broken-hearted for these people who feel like you're overwhelmed. But God has put that heart in you because he's overwhelmed. And he wants to choose a generation of young men and young women and raise them up. And your voice is going to be raised up. From just a speaker to a voice, so that you have a voice that resonates like a bell ringing in the hearts of young men and young women. Can you lift your hands to God? Father, I'm praying that you bless this young woman with such an anointing. The anointing that is on her right now will increase and overflow in her life in the name of Jesus. God, touch her. Touch her. Touch her. The words of a mouth will be like honey for healing. The words of a mouth will be like a scalpel that will cut out rottenness and toxins. The words of a mouth will be hope-giving, life-giving, life-saving. In the name of Jesus, you're going to speak to people who are contemplating suicide, and you will rescue them with the word of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless this young lady. With power from on high, touch her and have a vision in Jesus' name. Amen. Come here. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna just move this along a little bit because I don't want to keep everybody standing forever. So just stand across in a line across here, would you? I do it up the front here so that I can talk to you as well and that you stay engaged because I don't want you just like, oh, boy, I hope this gets over quickly. Can you just work with me for the next generation if we can just sort of get over. I'm not sure I came for this. I wanted a miracle tonight, and oh, that's great. That's awesome. Could happen. I'm believing for miracles and things to happen. You don't even need to meet me. We don't even need to touch. Just this atmosphere. There's angels. There's the Holy Spirit and the power of God traveling in here. But you, sir, the power of God has called you from the womb. And you are here by divine design. You're not an accident. In the name of Jesus, God has appointed you for a call of God. And there'll be challenges to the right and to the left. I see relationship challenges on one side, and I see family challenges on another side. For you to stand for God and do what you're called to do will take a level of strength in your inner man. And God is going to help you with that in Jesus' name. As you take up the armor of God, you will be able to defeat any of discouragement and the feelings of turning back, of being turned away from that call of God. But if you burn your past, burn the boats, burn the oxen, burn the plows, and say, I'm going to get the anointing of Elijah on me, you will actually find a great anointing is planned over your life in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I'm praying you touch this guy now with the power of God. Pour your spirit into his life and give him supernatural strength for every battle he is to face. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lift your hands to God. Father, I pray for great power to come on this guy. I feel like I prayed for you last night. Did I pray for you last night? No, I prayed for somebody who looks like you. It was him. Did I pray for you last night? Huh? Sam, he nearly fell off the stage. Yeah, okay. I'll let you get in instead of sneaking a double. Yeah, it's a haircut. It's the Tauranga haircut. Yeah, yeah. I got to get one of those. I just need to shave it up. Yeah, yeah, and flop around on the top. Yeah, you know, yeah. That's a nation of sharers, right? Yeah, yeah, I got that. Shikila baranda selela bolorosu. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Father, for this young man that the nation will hear his voice and that he will gather together young adults and understand a strategy for gathering young adults in this region together by the power of the Holy Spirit so that they'll have an experience that's greater than drugs, that's greater than getting drunk, that's greater than wild parties, that they'll experience God. They'll taste and see that the Lord is good, and he will carry that presence into their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Father, touch him by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, for every one of you, I feel this. There's an impartation here tonight, and I'm tempted to say healing, but it's not healing. It's inner healing. And I feel, especially that girl there, but all of you are going to have an ability to go in and lay hands on people, and emotional scars will be healed. People who have been abused, people who have been psychologically attacked. In an age when you're not allowed to actually, you know, kind of apply a little bit of the laying on of hands at a lower level than the normal, and just, you know, I mean, we're not allowed to do that. So the only thing you've got left is you're a bad kid, you're a naughty kid, you're, you know, why did you do that? Yeah, and you've only got psychology to go on, you got words, and they're far more damaging sometimes than a quick whack across the backside that just comes and goes. And then you hug each other and you love each other and you say kind words. You know, I've had kids too. And that was before, you know, I had kids. My daughter's 47 years old. So, you know, it was way back before all that stuff turned up. But since it's turned up, what can we do except just tell kids some negative things about themselves, and or else try and make them understand adult concepts when they're just a child. And I feel like sometimes foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but a rod of correction will take it from them. But the foolishness remains if it hasn't gone. And so people do some stupid things, and we as a church cannot afford to judge them. We just got to love them and understand, hey, we're going to bring healing to you. And I believe that you will do that. You'll bring healing into the hearts of fatherless children, children who and children who are confused about gender, young people who are confused about their life and their direction in life and what they're going to do, and people who are nervous and afraid about climate change and things that, you know, they're being told. And so it's not a matter of judging them. It's a matter of bringing healing to them. And I believe that as I pray for you tonight, each of your hands, as you just go and lay hands on people who might be not even in church, you say, hey, let me pray for you. I've never found anybody refuse prayer. If in the course of any conversation, you say, how you doing? They say, oh, okay, you know. And you say, well, what's up? You know, and say, oh, I got this thing. Well, let me pray for you. Yeah, well, that'd be great. Well, I'm going to do it now. Now? Yeah, just let me, can I put my hand on you? And presence will come into their life. And they taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a very, very powerful thing. So be ministers of the Spirit. And you'll find yourself bringing not just arguments to people, but presence of God, and He can do a lot more than we can. Father, I pray for each of these gentlemen and ladies. Would you lift your hands to God? I pray for a revolution amongst young adults in this area. Lord Jesus, touch and let the power of the Holy Spirit move on their lives, move in their hearts, and let a whole new generation of young adults, mature young men and women of God, who will rise up and carry the church into the future. In Jesus' mighty name, Heavenly Father, touch this girl. Wow, you're going to be a bringer of revival, sister. There's revival all over you. You're a fire. You're a flame of worship. That's what you are. You're going to bring fire into people's hearts. When you preach, fire will come out of your mouth. When you lay hands, fire will come down on people's lives. In the name of Jesus. And you'll bless this girl. Yeah, Lord, she's a free spirit. She's going to set so many people free. Oh, God, yeah, chains will break when you pray for those people who are bound. And, Lord, I pray for this beautiful young lady, Lord, that the presence of God will be carried on her shoulders into the lives of so many. Yeah, you got peace for troubled hearts. You're going to bring ease to troubled minds in Jesus' name. Thanks, guys. God bless you. Give them all a big hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. All right. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you very much for all of that. That was really good, guys. Thank you. Good job. And so in the next 12 minutes, I want to try and share a message with you that, and it's one of my very old messages that I only preach really if I feel like God is talking to me about doing it. But it is a very basic, and because it's my first time meeting you all, C3 in Tauranga, and I'm so happy to, because you're such a fine bunch of people, thank you for classing up C3. It's sensational that you've helped us do that, and we love you for that, and we especially love your beautiful pastors, Alan and Elena Hood, yeah. I called him James Woods yesterday in a blank moment, the actor. But, you know, he's a pretty good-looking guy. But forgive me for that. It was a combination between your father and some other guy, you know. So. But Alan is fast becoming a colleague, and I can see him coming up on the front line with us. I'm going to hold him off from that position for as long as I can, but I'm sure it's going to happen a lot quicker than... Then the only reason I do hold him off is because I love him. Amen. And you can see when a person's been through some of the things that they've faced, they're built for it and ready for the war. Oh, Lord Jesus, you know, and that's what it is. To carry this anointing into the world, you got to understand the devil that opposes us is called Antichrist. If you want to be a respectable religious person with a good Christian sort of respectability, you, it's going to be okay. But once you get anointing, the word Christ means anointing. So when a people get anointed, that's when life changes. You are on the front line of a battle. When I got born again, there was one church that had 3,000 people in this nation, barely. And there was another church that had about 800 people in it. And then there were a bunch of churches that had 300 or 400 and then a whole stream of churches that were 30 or 40 people. But today, just in Auckland, I think we counted just last night, maybe 9 churches that are in their thousands, like over 3,000. That's just up there. And then as you travel down the nation to Wellington and you see Arise and you see this church here, Tauranga, with its campuses, and all over the country, there is this huge revival. Yeah. And so sometimes it becomes us just to stop and take stock of what has happened. But I know some of the people who were in those early days. I know a brother called Peter Morrow. Some of you may not have known, who's since passed away, but suffered a very vicious attack. And I know many other pastors of those early days who came under such pressure and attack, and yet here we are today reaping the benefit of that. But also there are still plenty of wars going on, and they're not going to stop if we are to carry this presence of God into this next generation and to remain in position and ready to keep the fight going is not an easy task. And it's the same in Australia. Many of those early pastors and bringers of the anointing of God came under severe attack. And you know, we came through all that. We're still rolling on, and we will keep rolling on, no matter whether there's persecution from without or trouble within. The church will keep growing because Jesus has said, I'm going to build my church. You can't stop him doing what he said he would do. So I want to take you to Psalm 92, verse 12. If you can actually get that up on the screen, that's the only scripture I'm going to actually look at, which is where David says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. And I actually wrote a song called this, Anoint Me with Fresh Oil. My children, who, you know, like kids, pastors, kids always do, they changed it to Anoint Me with Fish Oil. And they did that with a lot of my songs that I used to write in my early days. And the righteous, try 10, Psalm 92, 10. Sorry, that's my church building scripture. Can we get 10 or not? Amen. Yeah, you'll do it. I know you. I'm believing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The reason I was not prepared to preach this sermon, I've got another one getting it back. But my horn you've anointed like a wild ox, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Okay, so that's really all I want to talk about. I have been anointed with fresh oil. And it's a similar message to the one I was going to preach, because the other one is a much more complex message about getting back what we lost. And this is about a similar vein about, I had that oil, but now I need fresh oil. Because we all know Christians who used to have an anointing and they were moving in that anointing, but now it's an old anointing. It had a culture with it. It had a message with it. But they got stuck there. They went around and around on that. And the Spirit of God kept moving and fresh oil came along. And it's a common thing for believers to say, well, this is the real thing. This came from God. Not sure what this new stuff is. I mean, in this move, tattoos were of the devil. In this new move, you're hardly a worship leader if you haven't got a tattoo on your arm. It's like in the old Pentecostal move of God, Catholics were the great whore of Babylon. Then suddenly all the priests started getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I remember dancing with nuns and we're all worshiping. And the great whore of Babylon was getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was a shock, and so it's a shock when Gentiles, for goodness sake, are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, and Peter's up there, and God's saying, "Hey, come on, have some crayfish, have some prawns, be an Australian, and enjoy." And he says, "Not so, God! Oh, God, you naughty, naughty God! I'm a holy man. I don't eat stuff that's not kosher." And it goes up and down 3 times. And he's trying to convince David. He's trying to convince Peter that there's a new day. That there's something new coming. And it's so difficult for the religious mind to get stuck to actually embrace a new thought that this could be God. And we can reject what happens. And I saw that happen quite severely in the church that I got born again in. When you got a bunch of people have prayed for revival, but then the people who come in are all got long hair, they're smoking, they're barefoot, they smell, and they're filling up the church, and, you know, we're not so sure we want this revival. We wanted a clean revival, a nice revival, a tidy revival. But it was a mess. And so, you know, a lot of the older people just said, well, we don't, but they actually had a vote and said, we don't want this. And, you know, I know my good friend Denise over here would remember those sad days quite well. And the tragedy is today that church is a car park. It's gone. It's like, it's a zero thing. Pastor James here would remember days of those kinds of things happening as well. And so revival comes, but it challenges us when it does. And we are carriers of an anointing, but you've got to be carriers of a flexible mind as well, to be open to the idea that what new voices are saying. And so I hang out with young guys. I hang out with young people a lot so that I can hear what God is saying in a new generation, because young men get visions and old men get dreams. I do. I had one dream last week, but mostly I get visions. Amen. Just deluding myself a little. But here David says, anoint me with fresh oil. Now, fresh oil is important to get. Because if you're in your car, right, you got to go in and get fresh oil. After a while, it loses its viscosity. The cogs start, you can hear the motor going, because the oil's not working anymore. It doesn't make the cogs slip together right. So you got to dump out the old oil, and you got to get fresh oil in there. And in church life, if you get a lot of the people kind of grinding with each other, often it's because they need fresh oil on their lives. They go grinding, grinding, grinding. Oh, he's like this. He's like, just get some fresh oil in the place. Like that little moment that we had then, that was what I felt an assignment was to do, to just pour out a little oil in amongst us and take us to another world of worship maybe. And so, in the winter in Australia, we don't mow the lawns because they don't grow much. But come summer, right now, you pull out your Victor mower and whatever it is, and you do it, and you go to start the motor, right? But it's kind of gotten rusted up a bit stuck, bit salt water's in there, and you're trying to pull that thing, and it won't pull. And so, what do? You get a hammer, you go donk 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 on the nut. You pour some oil on. Use a little wrench. Make it work a little more, and then you go, but you can't pull it hard enough to get it going. So more oil, get it loosened up, WD-20 or whatever you have here, and then knock it on the head, and you just about got it going. So more oil, tap it on the head, you know, and this nut, trying to move this nut is hard. So you get the wrench on it, and then finally and you got your motor going. Now, I've found there are some tight nuts in the church. And what a setup. You know, it's like oil. It's oil. And everybody in church, I mean, don't write them off. Don't write them off. Say, oh, they're just so dry and boring. And they can be refreshed. They can be renewed. They can be revived, everybody. I need it. And we drain. We use the oil we've got. Jesus felt power go out of him. So that means you got to get some more. If you felt something leave, you got to get something more. And if you're trying to live your Christian life and do your ministry on a non-oiled life, you're going to burn out. Those lamps that they used in the Old Testament, you remember the virgins? They're all blah, 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 talking to each other all night, and some wise ones had oil, the others didn't, and came the point where they needed the oil. The others hadn't paid the price for it, and the price is prayer, the price is waiting on God. So they, you know, had to go away and get their oil. But when your vase and you got the wick out and you light the wick and it's burning the oil. The wick is full of oil, and the wick isn't burning, but the oil is, because the wick holds the oil. But if you run out of oil, the wick burns, and that's when burnout happens. So some people ask me about longevity, and I say it's keeping in the oil. It's staying in the oil. It's staying because there's a lot of things that want to drain that oil, the wars and the battles and the fights and the things. I mean, there's a lot of demand on that oil. So to actually keep yourself alive, you just restock, get fresh oil from the presence of God. David had three anointings in his life until he became the king over the entire nation of Israel. And God chose him because he had a heart for God. He had a heart for God, and he reached out to God. Now, at the point of his appointment, Samuel was sent by God to replace Saul. He said, I'm done with Saul. Let's get another king. So Samuel goes down, and he says, go down to the sons of Jesse. God does not tell the prophet which son. So by a process of elimination, which is a good process for the selection of leaders, he goes through each one, and he says, put your sons in front of me. So comes Eliezer, you know, he's this strong man, Schwarzenegger looking. You know, like, looks like Saul looked strong, but poses down. God says to Samuel, he's a pinhead. Get him out of here. So he's gone. Next guy comes in. He's a pinstripe soup guy. I'll fix the economy. No, we don't want him. All the sons of Jesse parade before Samuel. Not one of them. And then Samuel says, is there not another? They all roll their eyes. And Jesse's embarrassed. He says, there's one other. We can never find him. He goes for miles with his little flock of sheep. Never takes his cell phone. We can't find him. We don't know where he is. So I couldn't get him to the meeting. He's not a king. He's not a king guy. He got like blonde, curly, ringlety hair. He writes poetry. And he plays a harp. He's a harp player, and he sings and writes all his poems. And Sammy says, I'm not sitting down until he comes. They say, we don't know where he is. He could be north, east, south, west, anywhere around the country. They said, we'll go find him. You know, clap, and all the servants say, okay. So they take a day. They're running over hills, through forests, valleys, rivers. And they finally, one of them is at the bottom of the hill, sees this little wisp of smoke, and can hear the sound of David up there, leaning up against a tree in the little silhouette of a few sheep around the fire. I exalt thee. He's a scripture and song guy. I exalt thee. Oh. And he says, David! Jabinezer? What are you doing? He says, David! I can't hear a word you're saying. Well, come up here and you talk to me. No, I don't know David. You know, I'll come up. You sit there. I'll just come up and we'll talk. David. Samuel's at the house. You go, why don't you take your cell phone with you? It would be so much easier to find you. And so go run now. So he runs and he feels his heart beating. He feels wheels turning on the inside of him and destiny. And he runs across the back fields and then over the gate and over the next gate and over the next one, into the room. And there's Samuel. And as soon as he comes through the door, the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, this is he. So Samuel's walking across the room, filling the horn with oil. And he comes up to David and he pours it over him, like that. As soon as that hits his head, David spins. He's spinning around. He loses consciousness. He falls on the floor. And he sees himself on a horse with an army behind him. He sees himself with a crown on his head and a great purple robe out behind him. He sees enemies fleeing before him. He sees a massive kingdom rising up all around him. Then he sees down through future. He sees further down. He sees a bearded figure walking through the streets of Jerusalem. And people are crying out, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on us. And they're reaching out because they knew that this man was a man of mercy. And they're saying, reach it out, and blind eyes are opening. And people are rising up from the grave. And he sees even further down through the channels of history, all the way into heaven. And he sees the throne of David and the key of David that opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man's opens. And he sees a power coming all the way through his lineage, all the way down through history, into the future, even into heaven. And he's exhausted at the end of it. The presence of God was thick in that room. And all of his brothers looking on, mystified. How they were men of renown. Here's this kid, just a young adult, who loved God, who sang worship, praised God, and had an anointing on him. Well, you know, years passed. He became the king. He's sitting at his table. He's doing king stuff. He's writing letters and stamping and giving orders, responding to delegations. And he remembers that time, that moment with Samuel. Pushes himself away from the desk. And he recalls that moment, that time when that anointing was fresh, kind of tingling on him. And he writes the psalm, anoint me with fresh oil, Lord. Tonight I'm asking you, if you're thinking, I want fresh oil on my life, I want to carry the presence of God to this generation, as the musicians come and as we stand up, I want you to come down the front and stand before God, and I'm going to pray for oil, fresh oil, to come on every heart. Let's all stand. And every life that is saying, that's me, I want oil on my life, what I once had, I'd like to get it back. I'd like to feel the power of God. Just come right now. Just come right now. Come strong. Don't wait. And say, that's me, Lord, tonight. I want to see the power of God moving in my soul, moving in my life, moving on my heart, in the name of Jesus. I'm only going to take another 5 minutes in this service. And the power of God is going to touch our hearts and our lives. Dear God, I'm on this altar call myself. I need fresh oil every day of my life. And the oil of heaven pouring in on every heart, on every soul here tonight, Jesus. I'm believing, God, that you will pour out oil, pour out your presence, pour out your spirit on men and women who once had such an anointing on their life, but for whatever reason, through tiredness, through exhaustion, through discouragement, or through just not being prepared to move into a new move of God, find themselves feeling not quite where they're meant to be and want to be. And Lord, even those who are feeling a tug on their heart but concerned about what others might think if they went out, I'm praying that you'll help us all. Help us all, Jesus, to just make that reaching out to God. Lord, let fresh oil fall here today in the name of Jesus.